Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to begin a brand new series teaching on what I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. Now, that may not sound like a great title to you, but I tell you, this is one of the most important things that I teach. And let me just set this up by saying that most people in the body of Christ either emphasize the grace of God or they preach faith. And most of the time, people who are real faith people criticize grace people and grace people who criticize faith people. And there is not a lot of common ground among these two views. But one of the things that I'm going to be trying to accomplish during this series is to show that it's not either grace or faith, it's a combination of both. I really believe that all error is one truth of God taken to an extreme or taken to an exclusion of other truths. You know, in the Bible, there are a lot of things that look contradictory to each other. For instance, the scripture that really changed Martin Luther's life and sparked the Protestant Reformation is Romans chapter 3, verse 27, says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of faith? Nay, but by the law of faith." And so it talks about that faith is what produces justification with God. And that changed Martin Luther and started a dramatic shift in the body of Christ. But did you know that there's apparent opposite truths? Like over in James chapter 2, it says, "So then you see that a man is saved by works and not by faith only." And James chapter 2 is to emphasize that faith without works is dead. Now that looks like an apparent contradiction. And as a matter of fact, Martin Luther never did harmonize those two. And because of it, Martin Luther actually lobbied to get the book of James taken out of the Bible because he thought it was completely incompatible with the faith, the justification by faith that he had seen. And so as a result, he never did embrace this other side of the coin. But every truth in the Word of God has an apparent opposite truth or something that looks contradictory, and they actually balance each other. It's like if you were trying to walk a tightrope, you would have to anchor it on one end and then pull in the opposite direction and have tension on that and pull and anchor it in an opposite direction. And only then would it hold your weight. And it's the same thing in the truths of the Word of God. You need to take things that look opposite and find out how that actually complements. You know, now that I've studied this, I can see that the teaching on justification by faith is balanced perfectly by the statements in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. It's not just a matter of saying that you believe something in your heart, but you've got to act on it. Faith without works is dead. I think it was John Calvin that said, "Saving faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone." There always has to be action. And if you understand it properly, James and Paul in the book of Romans, they complement each other. They don't contradict each other. They complement. And it's the same thing with grace and faith. Again, most people who are into grace really criticize faith people by saying that you have to do something and you have to believe. No, it's just completely up to God. It is just all the grace of God. Whatever will be, will be. And then people who are into faith and they understand that we have to take our authority and stuff like this, they criticize grace. And very few faith people, if that's all they emphasize is faith, very few of them find the rest and the peace that comes through understanding that God does everything by grace. But instead, most faith people have all of this burden on their own shoulders and they have to earn the favor of God and they've got to work. And that's just not the way that it is. Have you ever heard the little story about Mary had a little lamb? It would have been a sheep, but it joined a faith church and died from lack of sleep. And that's the way that it is with a lot of people. If they just emphasize faith and don't understand the balance of this with grace. And so I say all of this to say that these are two apparently opposite truths by the way that most people define it and try and live by it today. And yet if you mix them together, it becomes the power of God, and it's what really releases the power of God in your life. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This says you're saved by grace through faith. You are not saved by grace alone. You aren't saved by faith alone. Now, it's not completely wrong to make those kind of statements, because in this very context, if you go up to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. And then in parentheses, it says, by grace, ye are saved. So in the very context, Paul said, you are saved by grace. And it's not wrong to make that point, that it is the grace of God that brought salvation to us. But to be technically correct, he said right here that you are saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is your part. And you aren't saved just by what God does. Now see, there's some people that will take grace and they will teach it that way, that it doesn't matter what you do. Matter of fact, some people, this is not real popular, but some people have even gone to an extreme to preach predestination. And I actually know some people personally that have been in some of these denominations that say you're either predestined to be saved or predestined to be damned, and you can't do anything about it. That God just chose some people to go to hell and other people to go to heaven, and it doesn't matter what you do. I actually have a brother-in-law whose grandparents, the grandmother was in a denomination like this, and she never witnessed to her husband because she just accepted that he was either predestined to be saved or lost. So there was no such thing as evangelism in that denomination because they just believed that God controlled all that. And so my brother-in-law witnessed to his grandfather, and I don't remember the details, but I think his grandfather was in his 70s or 80s. I'm not sure, but he was older. And he witnessed to him, and his grandfather says, well, you know, my wife goes to church all the time, but she's just chosen of God. She's been selected and predetermined to be saved. I must be predestined to be damned. And my brother-in-law got to telling him, says, no, you can choose. And he showed him Scripture. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That the Lord came to forgive all of us. That he so loved the world, not just a few select people, that he's paid for the sins of the whole world. And when this man in his 70s or 80s understood this, that he had a choice and that he could respond and receive this salvation, he got born again. He was just a few years before his death. And yet he nearly died not having understood that he can choose. God, by grace, provides salvation, but then we have to respond by faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. We don't make God save us. But at the same time, God doesn't save us without our cooperation. It's God's part, grace, plus faith. You mix the two together and you get grace and faith, and that releases the power of God. Well, that is super important that you understand this. And, you know, it's just like sodium and chloride. Sodium is a poison. If you take enough sodium, it'll kill you. If you take enough chloride, it'll kill you. You mix them together, it becomes salt, and you'll die without it. Did you know that grace by itself will kill you? It really will. And I know that this may be offensive to some people because they say, man, this grace of God has just set me free. And, you know, here's the way that most people react. I heard there was a guy named Bob Boos who wrote a book, and this has been, I couldn't tell you, but probably 30 or 40 years ago. And it was very popular in the body of Christ back when I was first getting started. And I think the title was As the Pendulum Swings, or The Pendulum Swings, something like that. And he was using this thing that, you know, things get out of balance way over here. The pendulum swings up here, and people realize how far extreme this is. And so what they do, they stop that and let go. And instead of coming back to where it should be, down here in the center, The tendency is to swing totally to the other direction and get out of balance over there. Well, this is the way some people have preached faith so hard that you've got to do this and you've got to earn the things of God and you've got to fast and pray and study and on and on and on and on and on. And they've gotten so much into works and into legalism that people have gone way over here to an extreme to where it just doesn't matter what I do. Just, you know, lay on the couch, watch television, eat bonbons, just goof off and que sera, sera, whatever will be. Well, that is an overreaction, and that's wrong too. Because even though you don't determine everything, you don't make God do stuff with your faith. I'm going to be explaining this in a lot more detail. It is true that there are certain things you have to do to build yourself up into faith and to learn to receive from God. And so if there has been an abuse over here, don't come to the opposite extreme and just throw the baby out with the bathwater, but come to the proper balance. And likewise, there are people on the other extreme that just, you know, like that example I gave, that you're predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost. It doesn't matter. And they're just extreme over here. Well, people, when they begin to start seeing that this is extreme, this can't be right, well, then they totally forget the grace of God. And it all comes over here to where it's all up to what I do. It's all my works. It's not one or the other extreme. It's not grace or faith. You have to live in the balance of grace and faith. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You've got to be saved by what God has done for you through Jesus and your positive response to that. You've got to mix those two together in order to see the power of God manifest in your life. And I tell you, if you could understand what I'm going to be getting into here for the next few weeks, if you could understand this and start living it in its proper balance, it would transform your life. You know, this is why a lot of people aren't healed. There's people that go to an extreme and they'll say, well, if God wants me well, He's going to heal me. And so they just say it's all up to God. That's an overemphasis, a lack of understanding about the true grace of God. And they're just waiting on God. And you know what? There's many, many people. There are millions of people who believe that God can heal, but they just think it's totally up to God whether you get healed or not. And there are millions of people that die that way because they're just waiting on God. And that is not a proper way. Then on the other extreme, there are people who it's just, I've got to do something. I've got to make God heal me. And they start trying to fast and pray and do all of these things to make God move. And you know what? They are going to die because you can't make God do anything. Now, I know that that sounds contrary to a lot of people because we've been taught that faith moves God. I'm going to be explaining all of this, but I tell you, there's an extreme on both sides. Out where I live in the country, and I have more than a mile's worth of dirt road that goes to my house. And on this dirt road, they've got the thing beveled and on the edges, and there's a ditch on each side for drainage. And, you know, when the winter, especially when there's snow on the road, there are people that go around these curves and they will begin to start sliding into a ditch. And in an effort to avoid that ditch, they overreact. They overcorrect and they will pull the steering wheel in the other direction and they go in the ditch on the other side of the road. It happens every single winter. You see this and you can tell by their tracks that they were headed for this ditch. They overcorrect and they hit the other ditch. Did you know it doesn't matter which ditch you get in? You aren't going to reach your destination if you're in the ditch. And there are some people that have seen the faith ditch over here, and so they overcorrect and they go the opposite direction to where it's just all up to God, and they hit a ditch over there and they don't see it. Or there's people that head towards the grace ditch, and they see people who are just into an extreme of that, and so they overcorrect and they hit the faith ditch over here. You've got to learn how to go down the middle of the road. There's a ditch on both sides. Every truth in God's Word is balanced by an apparent opposite, contradictory truth. And you have to learn the balance between those two to be able to really see the power of God manifest in your life. And so what I'm going to be talking about on this series of programs is how to live in the balance of grace and faith. And I tell you, this is powerful. The guy who's our media buyer, and he buys airtime for many, many people. He buys over, I don't know, $50 million worth of airtime. And he's seen a lot of ministers come and go. And he's been involved in a lot of things. He's been around for a long time. And he's heard me preach this message before. And he says that this really is the heart of my ministry. What establishes us or distinguishes us from other people is putting the balance between these two. He specifically came out of a faith background. And he got caught up in all of the legalism and stuff. And he says, man, this is liberating. You know, let me say this, that the abuse of grace, if you don't understand faith properly, the way grace gets abused, it leads to lethargy and laziness, because after all, it's just up to God. And it leads into lasciviousness and indulgence of sin, because after all, it's all the grace of God. It doesn't matter what I do. That is the abuse that comes when you emphasize grace without faith. The abuse to faith, if you don't emphasize grace and understanding properly, then the abuse there is legalism and Phariseeism, to where you look down your nose and condemn anybody who isn't living up to your standard, and you are emphasizing all of the things that you must do. And both of those are bad things that can destroy and hinder your spiritual growth. But when you put grace and faith together, then it releases the power of God. It gives you a stability in your life that other people don't have. And I just know that right now the Lord is speaking through me to many people watching this program. And you've identified with some of the things that I've said, either the extreme of faith or the extreme of grace. And you've identified with a lot of these things, and yet you aren't getting the results in your life. It's because you haven't mixed these two together. And as I share this, I believe it is going to enlighten you and give you revelation that could literally transform your life. Oh, that's powerful. You know, right before I get into all of the teaching on this, let me just give you again a personal testimony that I was raised in a denomination where basically it was just up to God. I knew that God existed. I knew that He could do anything, but I didn't know that I had any ability to release the power of God at all. For instance, my grandmother died when I was 8 years old, and she had been in a nursing home maybe for a year or two before that. And prior to her going into that nursing home, she's the one that basically raised me. My mother was a school teacher, and she wasn't at home, so my grandmother took care of me when I was a little kid. And so she was very close to me, and she died when I was 8 years old. I believe that God could heal her. I asked, but I didn't know that there was anything I could do to release it. I didn't understand anything about faith. So we were raised in kind of this extreme grace, to where God can do anything, but you never know. It's just whatever God chooses, and it produced a real passiveness in us. As a result, my dad, when I was 12 years old, just a few days after my 12th birthday, he died. I again believed God could heal him, and I asked God to heal him, but I didn't know that there was anything I could do to release that power and to see him heal. And so my dad died, and I was with three people who died in my presence before I was 18 years old. Or excuse me, I was 19 years old. And I believed God could move in every one of those things, but see, I didn't understand that there was anything I could do about it. So I was extreme over here into the, it's just up to God. Whatever God wills. We had no ability to do anything. It was just all God. It was all the grace of God. Then I began to start learning about faith. And when I first found out about faith and found out that faith will release the power of God and things happen, and that we do have some control, and that we can determine what's going to happen. Well, you know, it's just like this thing I was saying about the pendulum. Man, I'd been way over here just passively asking God, but having feeling like there was nothing I could do to affect the outcome, I went completely the other direction, where it was all me. And it was all about what I could do. And I was going to make God do things. I used to have these prayer meetings where we would get together and we were going to pray all night long and we were going to make revival come. I had a vision of me grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. Those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant where God, well, I was going to grab hold of the horns of the altar and shake it until God came out. And I was going to make God move. And I just would dictate and command God to do things. Well, again, that was an overreaction. That wasn't a balance in the middle, but I'd been extreme over here, and now I came way extreme over here. And, you know, with most people, it's kind of like this. It goes back and forth, and over a period of time, you eventually settle in the middle. And praise God, when the Lord began to reveal to me about this balance between grace and faith, it totally changed everything, and it has brought a stability to my life that I didn't have before. It's brought a peace to my life that I didn't have before. And in my dealings with other people, and I talk to a lot of people, and I see a lot of people, I minister to a lot of people, most people do not have this balance. I could take this message that I'm teaching right here and share it with the vast majority of people I minister to, and they do not understand these things. And that's the precise reason that they aren't seeing the power of God work in their life on a consistent basis. So I am really excited about this. All today has been basically an introduction of this subject, trying to just put an importance on it and saying that you need this. If this isn't something that, I mean, just excites you when you think about the balance between grace and faith, then you need to get hold of this teaching. And you know, we've got a lot of teaching on this. Let me just mention some things quickly that we've had this book out for a long time. This is a hardback copy of Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And I honestly didn't like my picture on it, and so I've complained, and they have re-released it, and they now have this. This is in a softback. This is a paperback copy. And so this is a brand new release. This is the first time we put out the paperback copy of this. We also have a study guide that they haven't changed the picture on here yet, but eventually we will get it changed. And this study guide is to help you not only receive this truth yourself, but then to share it with other people. And then we have CDs, we have a DVD set on this, and then we also have As Seen on TV. And I think that all of these materials are going to help get you established in this truth and also to help you to share it with other people. So I am really excited about this. This is one of my favorite things to teach. This has just transformed my life, and I believe that it has the same potential for you. So I'd like to encourage you. Our announcer is going to share some information with you about all of this product. I encourage you to please get it. Also, let me just remind you that this is the first time we've had the paperback out. A lot of people didn't get the hardback copy because it was more expensive, our suggested donation. But this is a paperback copy, and I tell you, it would be a blessing to you. So listen to our announcer as he gives you more information about how to receive these materials. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching and a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD As Seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD As Seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, and in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th. He'll also be in Louisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite all of you who are full-time ministers to come and join me on October the 3rd through the 7th right here in Colorado Springs for our annual ministers conference. This is about our 20th-something year that we've been doing this, and it's always a highlight of our year. I have Bob Yandian and Bob Nichols who minister with me, as well as Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, and my wife will be ministering in music. It's just a tremendous time. We have a barbecue. There is a charge for the barbecue, but we need to know if you want to come. So there is a registration. It's a free registration. You can do that online, but you need to respond quickly. The time is approaching. Remember, it's October the 3rd through the 7th, right here in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Mercy Santos.